The West wants to disrupt Iran's oil sales to other countries. Will the pressure do any good?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is in China today, asking Asian governments to stop doing oil business with Iran. China, however, doesn't look like it's going to sever its ties, and the U.S. still has a lot of convincing to do with Japan and South Korea. Geithner's visit comes as the U.S. State Department demanded Iran free an American citizen, the country convicted as a spy, and today sentenced to death. The West continues to tighten the economic screws with sanctions over an alleged nuclear weapons program there, too. But Marketplace's Scott Tong reports going after Iran's oil revenue will be quite the challenge.
Geithner's trip is part of an effort to cut Iran off from as many customers as possible. Already, the United States punishes banks that do oil deals with Tehran, and the Europeans talk of a joint oil embargo by month's end. But China is Iran's biggest buyer. It takes about 22% of its exported crude, and it opposes sanctions. Still, not a deal breaker, says energy analyst Trevor Hauser at the Rhodium Group. Say you're the Iranian state oil company.
Now, let's say some of those buyers leave the table. Europeans are no longer willing to buy, Japanese are no longer willing to buy, and the Koreans are no longer willing to buy. Now I'm only dealing with the Indians and the Chinese, which puts refiners in those countries in a better position in terms of price negotiation.
China bargains a lower price, and Iran gets less money. That's the idea. But even so, will it hurt Tehran enough to deter its nuclear ambitions? Not everyone is convinced. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Well, here at home, there's word today that the Hyundai Elantra won the North American Car of the Year Award. That award was announced in Detroit, in this country, where the North American International Auto Show opens to the public this weekend. At that show, more than any other, car companies show off their biggest makes and models. But this year's turning out to be just a little different. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton reports.
If there's a theme for the Detroit Auto Show this year, it's small. Small regular cars, small sports cars, small hybrids. Nissan's new Pathfinder will be the only big SUV on the floor. Joe Philippi is president of Auto Trends Consulting. He says it's a reflection of the new frugality.
Even though we're in a recovery, consumers' budgets are still pinched.
And something else is at work. Jesse Toprak with TrueCar.com says small cars used to mean boring, stripped down. But car companies are putting a lot more time, money, and resources into their small vehicles now.
A lot of consumers who could otherwise afford a larger vehicle are now choosing a smaller one simply because they like the styling.
Not everything at the show will be small. Detroit's Cobo Center was expanded to create more floor space. Ford Motor Company is taking full advantage of that with a bigger display that includes an amusement park ride that lifts people 20 feet into the air to view an IMAX-style video. I'm Tracy Samilton for Marketplace.
BMW, by the way, posted record sales numbers for 2011 and said the luxury car market for 2012 looks splendid. Let's do the numbers. Well, European markets are mixed at the moment, pretty much all over the place. French shares, however, are higher by about 0.25%. German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Nicolas Sarkozy are meeting today in Berlin. They're talking about the Eurozone issues of this new year, the continent's debt problem and treaties that need to be ratified to allow for more budget control of Eurozone nations. Here at home, Alcoa, the aluminum company of America, releases its quarterly report later today, the beginning of corporate earnings season. Wall Street Friday, markets lost a little ground to wrap up the first week of the new year. The Dow shed 55 points to end the day at 12,359. Not a bad weekly start for 2012, though. The Dow, for the week, tacked on about 1%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
The U.S. Supreme Court today will look at the case of Sackett versus the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The issue started out as a minor wetlands dispute in Idaho. Well, now many conservatives are hoping a nod in their favor will dilute the EPA's power. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports.
Mike and Chantel Sackett are an Idaho couple who started building their dream home back in 2005. That is, until the EPA accused them of building on federally protected wetlands. The agency issued an administrative compliance order. The Sacketts had to stop building and restore the property to its original condition, or face fines of over $30,000 a day.
We think this is a very important case because the Sacketts really exemplify what is wrong with the EPA today.
That's Jim Burling at the Pacific Legal Foundation. He says this is a classic case of government overreach. That's why the Sacketts are getting support from big oil and other corporate polluters. They're pushing the Supreme Court to make it easier to challenge EPA compliance orders. Patrick Parento is a professor at Vermont Law School.
This case is about whether individuals who receive administrative orders from EPA are entitled to go straight to court and challenge the agency's authority to even issue the order.
If the Sacketts win this one, it could deprive the EPA of a key enforcement tool. The agency issues nearly 3,000 of these compliance orders every year. Larry Levine at the Natural Resources Defense Council says conservatives are painting the Sacketts as David and the EPA as Goliath, but in his book,
industry and polluters are the Goliath here, and EPA is more in the role of the David, trying to defend the environment.
Pat Parento expects the court's conservative justices will aim their slingshots at the EPA, but it'll be a close decision. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, a Chinese scientist devised a buffet-busting scheme for diners in Beijing who were stymied by Pizza Hut China's one bowl, one visit salad bar policy. He instructed customers to start with a strong, dry foundation, chickpeas and potatoes perhaps, then lay carrot sticks as a base for a second level, constructing walls of cucumbers or blocks of fruit to put the lettuce and other smaller veggies in. The tower could reach heights of 3 feet or more. But alas, after one too many diners attempted the edible engineering feats, Pizza Hut China squashed the salad bar altogether. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Ask what's next for television, and you might get some answers like this.
Television is the engine that drives the entertainment business.
Remember, this is 4 to 5 hours a day for the average adult.
Anything you can get on a normal TV, you can get on an Xbox.
The only question is, how long does the future take to unfold?
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the future of TV at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.